desire your prayers tonight. We not only want them, we need them. Some of you know I have a shoulder and neck problem. It goes up the side of my head. It can be pretty sharp and pretty painful. But I felt like the Lord told me to come to Louisiana. Give me a burden. So I'm here. I have something on my heart tonight that is going to be something what Brother Ivan preached last night, only I'm going to go a shotgun many different ways and not just one particular angle. Let's open in Genesis, the third chapter. I'd like to say I'm glad that I'm here. I appreciated the meeting. I've gotten blessings out of the meeting. My brother Brandon, that one song really talked to me. Years ago, in the late 60s, I was had a king by the name of Elvis. Elvis was my king. I loved Elvis's singing. And then on the 31st of October of 1971, I met a man by the name of Jesus. And switched kings. What I got now is alive. The other had been dead for years, since 1977. And I enjoy the singing. God singing, the saints singing. One time back in the 90s, I don't remember just when, but it's before 98 when I went to South Carolina. I cleaned a home on a regular basis. When I say regular, weekly. And I went in one day and everybody was gone, but I kept hearing this singing. I thought, where is this coming from? So I followed my ears and went all the way back to the master bedroom. They had a radio in the bathroom and I listened for a minute and I thought, that's Elvis. And I listened a little bit more. Yeah, that's Elvis. And it was either an anniversary of his death or his birthday or something. Anyway, they were dedicating, I guess, that day to Elvis. So if I'd wanted to, I could listen to a lot of Elvis. But guess what I'd done? I reached down and went like that, turned around and walked out and went to work and got blessed of the Lord. All right, let's open up. We appreciate each one that's here tonight. Like I said, I'm thankful to be here. I want to start reading in the third chapter of good book of Genesis, about the sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, why, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Now, number one, this garden was the most beautiful, perfect garden that anybody could ever have. There was none like it before, and there's not been any since. Now then we have the garden in the heart, in our hearts. But the Lord, he come down. Now when God created you and I, he didn't create us like the animals. He created you and I to have a will, but he also created you and I to commune with him, to love him, to want to live for him, to want to do things for him. He created you and I to be a model of his, so to speak. When I mean a model, a perfect example of a Christ-like life. And so here they were, and he had given commands, and Eve had done what she done, and Adam fell pursuit. The Lord come looking for him. He wanted to commune with them. He wanted to talk with them. He wanted to spend time with them. Listen, folks, tonight the Lord's here to spend time with you and I. How much time are we giving him? Are we opening our hearts to the depths of what God would have for us? Are we kind of holding back a little bit? Listen, folks, if you want the depths of the blessing of this meeting, we need to open our hearts wide open and say, Lord God, fill me in every way you need to. Praise God. So he come down, and he said, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto them, where art thou? Where art thou? Now then, number one, God knew where they were. He knows where you are tonight. The main central of my burden tonight is the fact that we look at us. Don't look around at everybody else. Don't consider all those other people out there that maybe you're having problems with, contention with, or whatever. But the bottom line is we need to look at ourselves tonight. These meetings are held to the glory of God and the good of souls. These meetings are held where people can get help spiritually, salvation, sanctification, healing, whatever they might need, victory and power and authority. These meetings are held for you tonight, but the only way that you can get the help that you need is you got to look at yourself, and it's me, oh God, that's standing in need of prayer. It's me, Lord, that needs victory. Listen tonight. Lord, help us to open our heart fully to God, to His Spirit. Don't hold back. Don't cover up. Don't be like the song about the room. I don't want to go in that room. Listen, folks, today, everybody nearly's got a junk drawer, and some people's got a junk room, but listen, they don't want the janitor to look in there. They don't want the janitor to do anything in there. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God wants you to swing that door open and say, here am I, Lord, work with me. Help me, Lord. Work with me. Bless me. Now then, the Lord knows where you are. What's it like to be lost? Well, let's go to Romans 6 and 23. Let me not get ahead of myself here. Romans 6 and 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now tonight, the wages of sin. Now I could be wrong with probably every brother in here, and any sister that had had to work through the years, they like wages. It buys things for you. It pays bills. It does things. It's a blessing to have your wages. It's a blessing to be able to go in it and spend it. Paige likes to take her money and spend it. I like to spend mine. Molly likes to spend hers. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The wages of sin. Listen, folks, there's a payday with sin. The wages of sin is death. Listen tonight. The wages of sin is destructive. It tears down. It does things that nothing else will do, bless your heart. To be lost. If you was in a jungle and got lost, what would it be like? It can be cold in them jungles at night. It can be scary in them jungles at night. If you're in the right spot, there could be bears in there. There could be lions in there and tigers, wild cats. There could be deers. There could be rattlesnakes or copperhead. There could be things in there that could take your life real easy. And most people, if they get lost in an area and they don't know how to get out and they know what is lurking in the seed, those people can get just a little bit scared. Are you scared tonight? If you're in the jungle of sin, folks, you need to be scared. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is after every one of us. But I'm going to tell you tonight, he's working hard on the sinner. The sinner needs to wake up. The sinner needs to say, I'm lost. The sinner needs to say, I'm in the jungle, and the devil's after me. The lion's after me. He puts his head down and it roars real loud, and all the little animals get scared. But it's not only the devil out there, but there's imps, there's spirits, there is things out there that's destroying this country tonight because of the power and the workings of the spirit of the devil out there. The jungle of sin is a bad place. And there's millions in this jungle of sin. And they're wondering and wondering. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there's people that's caught up in unforgiveness. There's people caught up in anger and jealousy and bitterness. There's people that's caught up in things that's got them wrapped and chained and tied. And they're not able to do what they would like to do. They can't forgive. They can't be happy. They're down. Some people are depressed. They're in a mess. Bless your heart. And the reason they are is because the devil's got them in the jungle of sin and they can't get out of that jungle. But there's a light, praise God, and that light's trying to shine down into that jungle and help you to get out of there, praise God. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. The wages of sin is death. Oh, tonight, but the gift of God. There have been a lot of gifts down through the years. And you probably got some. What is the greatest gift that you've ever gotten in your life? You ever had a new car for Christmas? Or maybe a new gun or whatever. Maybe a house. Something big. But I'm going to tell you, this gift far exceeds anything I know of. It's a gift of God. It is God's gift to mankind. It's the Son, Jesus Christ, that come down, praise God, and said, I've done it from the foundation of the world. It's the will, it's the plan, and I'm going to go and do something that nobody else has done. And like the brother said this morning, when he got to the end, he said, it's finished, praise God. It's totally complete now. It's made a way for you and I to be able to praise God and have victory and do things that we've never been able to do before, praise God. Brother Glenn's a brother tonight. And ain't because of who he is, it's because of Jesus Christ, praise God. Brother Larry and Brother Marty and Brother Ivan, listen folks tonight, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the power of Jesus Christ. And he wants to get people out of that jungle. That jungle is scary. It's dark. It's dirty. It's a bad place to be. And the Lord wants to get you up and get you out, praise God, and put your feet on a solid rock and do something nobody else can do. Thank the Lord for that gift tonight. All right, let's go to Luke 6 and 36. Again, I desire your prayers. Luke 6 and 36. Well, if I get on the right page, it always reads right, folks. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 chapter, 14th verse. I got quite a few scriptures. I usually build my messages on the Word of God. 6th chapter and 14th verse. He says here, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness. Do you know that unforgiveness is something that is doing a lot of damage in the world today? It's doing damages in homes. It's doing damages in families. It's doing damages in congregations and companies, neighborhoods, friendships. It does a lot of damage, and it's been doing it for a long time, and the devil uses that thing, and I'm going to tell you tonight there's a way out of it by the blood of Jesus Christ and his power. All right, let's go to the 18th chapter of Matthew. About 23rd verse. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. And his servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. But the same servant now went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not. But he went, and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now then he says up here, he said that when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And then it goes on down here on the other one, and it said he owed him 100 pence. Have you ever looked up what kind of money that is and not? On the one, it's $several million. In other words, the bottom line is, folks, we had a debt in sin to God so great we would have never been able to pay it by ourselves. There was no way. You was in such a depth of sin and degradation and tied and chained and bound and wrapped, and you have done things that so staunchest in the eyes and the nostrils of God that no matter what you've done, you would have never lived long enough to pay that debt. And the other guy, his was only worth a few dollars, so to speak. You'd been able to do that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, our debt, if you're in sin and you're tied and chained and wrapped, and in the jungle of sin, I'm going to tell you tonight, you'll never be able to pay that debt. You'll never be able to do it. But that man forgave that debt. That man, that Lord, he forgave that servant that debt. And then he wanted him to go ahead and do it again, so to speak, and he wouldn't do it, even though it was a small thing. Listen tonight, Lord, help us to get to the place. Unforgiveness is doing so much damage. Have you got unforgiveness to anybody tonight? Have they done something to you and you will not turn them loose, not forgive them, not be a blessing to them? Have you got it? Place where you've shoved them off in the corner, so to speak, and you don't want to have nothing to do with them. There's a lot of people that way. A lot of people. Unforgiveness. Forgive and you shall be. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. You know, the devil is deceiving a lot of people tonight. He is hiding. And evidently got them in such a place they think, well, I can go ahead and not forgive somebody and go into heaven. But that's not what the Bible said. Now, I'm going to stand flat foot on it tonight and preach it to you that if we forgive, we'll be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. We've got to forgive. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's an absolute. And the reason is because if he's willing to forgive us such a great debt, we ought to be willing to forgive anybody something that ain't worth more than about $10. We ought to be willing to do that. Are you willing to turn that person loose? Oh, tonight, there's a lot of people that this thing is damaging. It's destroyed marriages. It's destroyed homes and businesses. It has done so much. And not only did it go for a little while, but sometimes this thing goes for years. There has been situations of maybe a parent and a child, and that child got upset, the parent or the parent, the child, and there was not forgiveness there. And that person was on their deathbed, and they was needing that the child got word, and they was wanting to come, and there was a problem there, so to speak, and they didn't get there in time. They didn't get to make restitution. They didn't get to say, "Father, forgive me." I dealt with a man one time. He was upset. I knew about the situation, and he felt like somebody had not done him right. I said, "The bottom line is you're going to have to forgive that man. Point blank. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. You're going to have to forgive him." He didn't like what I was telling him, but I wouldn't let him off of it because I knew where he was at. I knew what had happened. I knew the story. Listen, sometimes people, they want to hold ministers because we make a judgment call and they say, "Well, you shouldn't do that or say that or do this or do that." Listen, folks, most of the time the pastors and sometimes the evangelists know more about the situation than anybody else, and we make our judgment call because of the Word of God and because of Jesus Christ, and we sit and do the thing. Just like this man, I knew the bottom line. I preached at funeral, but I told him, "You gotta forgive that man. I know what you're talking about. You're gonna have to forgive him." I'm gonna tell you tonight, I can say one thing, but God is the one that's gonna hold you. I can hold you too, so to speak, but I can't cast you into the devil's hell. But the Lord can hold a person if you don't forgive. Listen, I forgive you back there. You're gonna have to forgive that person. We can have people that hurt us and have contention with somebody. But the greatest way out of this whole thing is a good dose of humility and just get out before God and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I don't want to be unforgiving. I don't want to hold that person. I want to turn them loose. I want to let them do what they need to do. Praise God." Unforgiveness. Are you holding somebody tonight? Two people, three people. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ helped me to forgive a whole slew of people one time. And you possibly heard me tell this story, but a number of people had done me wrong. And I was holding them. I done everything I could do to forgive them in my own power. And I think I'd have the act done and go along for a while and something happened. I thought, "Uh-oh, ain't where you think you are, Carl." So I'd go back and I'd try it again. And I'd done this several times. And finally, I just saw I couldn't do it in my own self, folks. And I reached out and I said, "God Almighty, you got the key to this thing and I need your help. I need you." Listen, folks, there's things we can't do in our own selves. It takes the grace and the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to give us what we need to be able to do it. So I'd set a time in my mind that I was going to fast and pray and get it. And that day come and it just didn't work out. So I was headed to Webb City. This has been several years ago, Brother Dan, before you was there. And I was headed to Webb City and I stopped at the Will Rogers Turnpike at the midway point and I'd by myself. I don't know why, a child was sick. I don't know, but anyway, the three girls was home, not by me. I was by myself and I climbed in that van and Jesus sat down right by me. And I got out on the turnpike and he started talking to me and he showed me the keys. He said, "Now then, if somebody dies, what do you do with them?" I said, "Well, you put them in a casket." He said, "Then what do you do?" I said, "Well, you nail down the lid, so to speak." He said, "Then what do you do?" I said, "Well, you dig a hole, you bury him." He said, "Then what do you do?" I said, "Well, you resurrect the stone that tells the date and so forth." He said, "You need to do that. You need to die out to self to every one of those people." And I started in. And I got to begging and pleading. I'd call them by name. And I'd put them in a casket and I was going down the road going like this. I know people passed me. I thought, "Nutty the fruitcake." And I'd nail in that casket and I'd put them down in a hole and I'd cover it up and I'd raise it up and I'd go the next one. And the next one. And I'd done that over and over. I named them out, folks. I didn't shortcut anything. I named them this one and named them out and died out to self and surrendered the whole thing to God. And when I did it, I got the last one. I had it. I had the power, I had the grace, I had everything I needed. Listen, I know it can be done. You can hold people if you want to, but I know Jesus Christ that can help you to forgive them, praise God. He can help you. Help you to have forgiveness, help you to have power, help you to have authority. Well, I went on to Webb City, and I preached there that morning. That afternoon, a fellow had to go by Sepulpa Road, so I went by there. And I got in the pulpit that night, and I started preaching. And this is no lie, folks. It's like God had a can of oil right over my head that was nice and warm. And I felt that oil going all the way through my being the whole time I was preaching that night. If I ever had anointing, it was then. If I ever had power, it was then. I felt it. I felt like that was the Lord approving of my doing what I need to do. And He's saying, child, you got it. Praise God. I had forgiven them. And I've still got them forgiven all these years later. All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Unforgiveness leads to other things. Unforgiveness can cause people to get angry. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I want to tell you tonight, folks, don't be hasty to be angry. Husbands with wives, wives with husbands, parents with children, friends, neighbors, whatever. I'm going to tell you if something happens, Lord, help us to be just as laid back and cool as we can be, so to speak. Don't get angry. This country is destroying itself in anger. There is thousands upon thousands of people in the United States and around the world that's extremely angry tonight. There's people that's angry at the president. The Congress is angry at him, at this one and that one. There are people in the Senate upset with the Congress and the Congress with the Senate. There's governors and local senators and so forth that is just all angry and upset. And they're wanting to do things. And they are doing things. And then there's the people that's doing these mass shootings. Shootings, even in churches in the United States. Who would have ever thought? But it didn't start yesterday, folks. If I could, I would go to the Supreme Court and stand before them and say, the blood of all these people that's been killed ain't because of guns, it's because of you. You're the ones that said we're going to take prayer out of it. You're the ones that said we're going to take the Bible reading out of school and prayer out of school. Going to do this and do that. And when you did, folks, and then the women, well, even before that, the women started working. I'm not talking about those that had to. I'm talking about the people that wanted more money, wanted more luxurious, wanted more cars. President Johnson said we're going to have 2 chickens in every pot. We're going to have 2 cars in every garage. But I'm going to tell you, that kind of attitude has done damage to the United States. And I'm not against 2 cars in a family. I don't know what we got, 4? I got 1 for sale. I got 3, I guess. I got a van and 2 Santa Fe. I've got 3, but I got 1 for sale. And one of them belongs to her, and one of them is mine. But the bottom line is, there is people tonight that is extremely angry. And they're going about, and they're killing people. And they're doing things that should never been done. Are you angry tonight? Has somebody done you something and you're not forgiving them and there's an anger that's boiling underneath? Maybe they don't really realize the depths of it, but it's right there. It's just almost a breakout in a flame, so to speak, and a horrid thought. You do anything. I'm going to tell you tonight, anger kills people. It rests in the bosom of fools tonight. And there's thousands of people that away. Ephesians 4 and 31 says this. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's also envy out there. Where art thou? Jesus is walking and talking and telling us, where are we at tonight? Do we have anger? Do we have unforgiveness? Are we in a situation that we could just break loose? Somebody said, well, I'll never get angry enough to shoot somebody. Well, it has happened, and people did not plan to do it. Steakhouse murders, 1977, South Oklahoma City. Roger Dale Stafford, if I remember his right name, he walked in there to rob that place. He got in just as it closed. There were 6 employees in there. And he went in, he was going to rob it, turn around, walk out the door and go. But there was a preacher that worked there, Lord help us. And that preacher made Roger Dale mad. And he pulled his gun. And I guess he took him first back and he executed him right there in the locker. He went back and got another, let him in, killed him right there. Let her in, killed her right there. Lost 6 of them, lay in a bloody pile in that locker. Tonight, he didn't go in there to kill anybody. Listen, folks, you can kill somebody with your tongue. You don't have to do it with a gun. You can do it with a tongue. You can set in to destroy their reputation and run them down and tear them up in front of people and so to speak till you ruin their reputation. That's not right either. That's killing people. Killing their reputation. Well, Roger Dale killed him because he got angry. I'll never do that, preacher. You won't. Somebody just touched just right of that person that you haven't forgiven, and I about guarantee you'll tear them up in front of them. You'll light into them and you'll say, well, I know this about that person, and I know this and this and this, and you'll go after them with all everything you got, shooting them down. Roger Dale, he went on and killed 3 more people on I-35 in South Oklahoma. Took them a while to catch him, but when they did, they had so much evidence. When the jury took it, they had over 100 pieces of evidence, I believe it was. And when the jury went in to do their deliberation, it didn't take them very long. Said he's guilty, guilty, guilty. He's dead now. He killed 9 people, and they killed him because he pulled the triggers of those guns and killed people. Colossians 3:8. Says this, but now ye also put off all these. Now the writers tell us, put these off right now. But now is a day of salvation. Now is a day of power. But now ye also put off all these. And the first one is anger. The second one is wrath. The third is malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. Listen, folks, anger leads to wrath. Wrath is uncontrolled anger, so to speak. You can't shut it down. It just explodes. That's what's happened to people like out in Las Vegas. That's what happened to people that done what they done in that church down in Texas. That's what happened to the different schools, Shady Nook and Columbine. That one girl there in Columbine, she was there and the man told her, said, if you say I'm going to live for God or have faith in Christ, I'm going to kill you. And she said it and he gunned her down right there. A fine young lady. Have you been killing anybody lately? Let's move on a little further. Let's go to Proverbs 6:34. Proverbs 6:34. Tonight, where art thou? How deep are you in the jungle? I'm going to tell you, the jungle of sin is a terrible place. There's a jailhouse of sin, but I've been thinking about this jungle. This jungle of sin and the devil working in that jungle. Going around and roaring and biting and ripping and tearing and doing things to people. Aren't you scared out there in the jungle of sin tonight? Aren't you horrified the fact that there's somebody that's bigger than you, more powerful than you, and he can do anything he wants with you and ain't nothing you can do? And you're out there wondering, lost in the jungle of sin. Isn't it time to get some help? How long are you going to live tonight? How long are you going to live? Proverbs 6:34 says this. It said, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. For jealousy is the rage. Jealousy is another thing that does a lot of damage. Had a cousin one time. Matter of fact, I was privileged to be in his wedding. He and I are the same age, just there's three of us in the family that's just about 3 or 4 months apart of each other. And so I helped Dale in his wedding, and he married what appeared to be a very nice girl, pretty girl. It's been many years ago. And but there's something I didn't know anyway at the time, and she had a jealousy about her. And in that jealousy, and Dale was an outgoing guy, warm and friendly, like a man that I saw this afternoon that I loved dearly and come over to the house where we were visiting, and he was warm and friendly, and Dale was outgoing. He likes to kid and cut up. Saw him not too long ago at a family get together. And she started getting jealous of him. And it went from a little bit to a little more to a whole lot till it totally destroyed their marriage. Do you know there's thousands and thousands of marriages have been destroyed because of jealousy? Do you know jealousy can reign in a congregation? No, wait a minute, preacher. No, it can reign. And what I mean reign, it can get in. It can get among preachers. And the deal is that one gets jealous, seems like the Lord blessing this and more than me, so to speak, and you get jealous of him or her. It can get in preachers, get in homes, families, it can get into businesses and so forth. Jealousy is something that goes a long way, but it does a lot of damage. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon here. The eighth chapter and sixth verse, 8 and 6 of Song of Solomon. He said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, but jealousy is cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Now jealousy is cruel as a grave, it says. Jealousy kills a lot of things. It's put a lot of people in the grave, so to speak. Are you jealous of somebody tonight? Is that thing hurting you? You look at them and you won't have anything to do with them because you're jealous of their achievements? Listen, folks, the lower we get, the better off we're going to be. Just get on down there. Don't get up, brother. Brother Hargrave said one time, said people come riding up to the altar in a chariot. He said they all be slithering up on their belly like a snake, getting down real low before God. Listen, folks, tonight, jealousy and unforgiveness, those things do a lot of damage to people. And are you jealous? Are you unforgiving? Are you angry tonight? Where art thou? The Lord's asking us tonight. Where art thou? Oh, Adam, where are you at? I want to have communion. The Lord wants to have communion with every one of us in here tonight. He wants to talk with you and visit you and bless you. He wants to be in your home with you and bless you in the car, wherever it might be. He wants to spend time with you and bless you. But to do that, you're going to have to give yourself to God and let Him clean everything up. And then He'll come on down and just pour it on. Oh, tonight these meetings are sweet. It's because of Jesus, but it's because you and I are washed in the blood. Oh, tonight, are you jealous of someone? All right, let's go to something that is another underlying thing that does a lot of damage. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter and 15th verse. And you Bible readers, you know what I'm fixing to read. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. Acts, the 8th chapter, 23rd verse. Bitterness. My brother Carl, I'm just going to lay it out like it is tonight. I'm just going to give you my burden. He said here that, I believe Paul was dealing here, I believe it was, and or maybe it was Peter. I guess it's Peter here. 20th verse, that Peter said unto him, thy money perishes with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. He said here in Hebrews, he said the root of bitterness. It'd be nice to know how many people are bitter tonight. And I'm not talking about in our setting here particularly, but in the world. The devil loves nothing better when you're in the jungle of sin than to get you bitter at God. Oh, I'd never do that. Yeah, you will too. There is a lot of people that bitter at God tonight. My wife was, if I remember right what she told me, she said she thought God didn't love her. The devil kept telling her, he don't love you. And she believed him for years. He don't love you. And she didn't listen to that. And, well, God don't love me. A lot of times, anger, unforgiveness start out and things begin to work till it gets into bitterness. There was a man, if I called his name, probably most everybody in here would know him. But at one time he was quite bitter about some things. And somebody went down to see him and later talked to me about it and told me, said, Brother Carl, he said he was so bitter. I said, yeah, I know. He was so bitter. He said it just flowed out of him. Listen, folks, when people get extremely bitter, it'll flow out. It'll come out. You can see it. You can hear it. You can discern it, so to speak, that they're bitter. Are you bitter tonight? Has a turn in life made you bitter? People say, this ain't fair. God shouldn't have done me that away. A man was one of my customers, him and his wife, years ago, before I went to South Carolina. And they were an older couple, and I cleaned for them and got things cleaned up on a Thursday, I believe it was, and the children, the grandchildren, at least part of them was coming in for the weekend, and they were all excited to have them come. And at lunch on Sunday, he was chewing his food and he got choked. Well, they helped him to get unchoked, and he started in again. It happened again. Well, then they said, well, maybe we better go have things checked out at the emergency room. So they took him to the hospital. He had a rope of cancer wrapping around his esophagus, and the doctor said, there's nothing we can do. It's going to squeeze him to death. Going to squeeze his esophagus and squeeze it and squeeze it till he can't do anything but die. And he did. And when his wife called Sister Rebecca and said, my husband dead, I was so shocked. He looked fine. Wasn't a thing wrong with him. Well, I went to clean later, and his wife was there, and all of a sudden, I was in a room, we were just cleaning away, and she goes, I'm angry with God! Of course, I didn't know then what I know now, but I looked at her, I said, man, what you mad at God about? He took my companion! I said, oh, wonder how many people have done that very thing. But if they're not careful, because of the death of a child, because of the death of a companion, because of the death of a brother or sister or mother or father or aunt or uncle or cousin, or because of some tragedy that happened that maybe left them not able to do what they used to do, and after a while they got into a place that they got more bitter and started out, a root of bitterness shall defile many. I'm going to tell you, this root of bitterness is a very destructive root that will destroy your soul in hell. Where art thou? Is there bitterness somewhere in there Listen, folks, there is victory. If somebody has died that you dearly love, the Lord took them. Listen, folks, don't get bitter. Get humble. Get down before Jesus. I know of a case where a husband died and the wife took that situation and she shut everybody, nearly everybody out of her life. And the people come to me and say, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? I said, she shut his family out. She shut another family out. She was shutting everybody out. And you know what happened to her? It has destroyed her basically to this day. I've watched it. And I didn't understand it at first, quite like I do now. But the bottom line is she didn't handle her anger correctly. Listen, folks, there's a way to handle. If you have the Lord take somebody that you love dearly and you get a little bit upset about it, I'm going to tell you, go to God. Reach out to Him. Pray to Him. There's times that I've literally thrown my hands up in the air and looked up and said, God, have mercy. I need you. I can't do this by myself. And the Lord had sent me help over and over and over. When I was in the rungs of grief, in the depths of bawling and squalling at night and in the day, in the car, on the job, at the chapel, I told the congregation, I said, you might not think I cry, everybody. I said, you don't see me, but when you ain't here a lot of times, I'm bawling, cleaning this building, or after we're at worship, and I'm just hurting deeply. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a power of comfort. There's a power of the blood of Jesus Christ that can help you. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be bitter because somebody takes your companion or your loved one. I know it hurts. I know it hurts deeply. I'm an advocate of the bereaved. I'll do everything I can do within my power to help you if you've lost somebody and you need help. I send cards. I send books. I make phone calls. I send text messages to let them know that I'm praying, that I love them. I don't want them to be bitter. I don't want them to be upset. And I didn't plan to get into this quite like this. But I'm going to tell you tonight, that is part of what has destroyed a lot of people, is because their loved one, the Lord took, and they got bitter at God. Had a man many years ago when I had my service station back in the 70s. And he would go down to the cemetery every day. And he would come by and we got to be friends. Where you been? Well, I've been in the cemetery. This went on for a long time. I'm not talking about weeks or months. This was years. Now, I'm not against that, but there is a place, like Brother Ed said in the pulpit, and he gave me counsel on this after I lost Rebecca. He said, there's a place, Carl, that you're going to have to turn that thing loose and walk on away from that cemetery. And when I got to that place, I remembered what he said, and I done what he said, and it worked. This man never got to that place. Oh, Lord, help us. I didn't plan to get on all this grief tonight. But I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us. That bitterness comes from a wide range of things that happen to individuals. And things happen over and over and over in their lives. And if you're not careful, the devil will get you bitter with God. Or with somebody, and you will be just a fountain of bitterness is all you will be. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and 10. Proverbs 14 and 10. We're going to wrap it up here in a minute. Time's gotten away. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Are you really willing to admit that you're bitter tonight? At somebody, with somebody, at God? Are you willing to admit it? Where art thou? The Lord's saying, where art thou? He knows where you're at. He knows how to help you. But listen, folks, tonight, where we really get the help is when we admit where we're at. That's the key. He knows, but you need to say, hey, there was a man over here who was drinking, and he was looking at his neighbor across the street that was an alcoholic, and he's drinking beer over here, looking at him, saying, I'll never be an alcoholic. Wait a minute. He could very likely be an alcoholic. He very likely could end up in the depths of alcoholism. And so, oh no, I will never be that. Listen, we need to admit where we're at. We need to say, hey, I've got anger. Hey, I'm in sin. Some people want to say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good moral person. But the bottom line, if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus and you haven't repented of your sin and done everything that the Lord requires you to do to be saved, you're still lost and you're in trouble and you need to repent of that. All right, let's finish up in two places. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Isaiah 55 and 6 and 7 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly, not a little bit. Listen, folks, tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ is still just as powerful today as it was when it was shed on the cross years ago. He said, and in that day, wasn't it? In the house of David, there should be a fountain open for all sin and all uncleanness. Listen tonight, the Lord has that fountain. He has that blood. He has that power. And he's telling you to seek ye the Lord. Listen, somebody said, well, I'm going to put it off a few more days. You may not be alive tomorrow. There was a young man. Was in Guthrie camp meeting many years ago. The Lord was dealing with him. He was under heavy conviction and he walked out of the chapel and my brother followed him out. He'd done everything he could do to get that young man to turn around and come back in. But he wouldn't do it. I thought it was about 2 weeks. So somebody told me recently they didn't think I was right on my time. But I do know this. We got a call. Well, if I remember right, I was at the print shop where I was at. And they got a call. I didn't get a call individually, but they got a call. That young man had gone swimming down there near Guthrie. And he got caught up in a whirlpool, tidal pool, whatever, and it sunk him under and killed him. And as far as we know, said the next Wednesday night he was back again. That's what this person told me later. I wasn't there on that Wednesday night. But I was there the night, if I remember right, the last Sunday night of the meeting when he was under such conviction. And like I said, my brother followed him out and begged him. I know of another case where a person begged a couple. Well, they weren't married, but they were together and begged them to get saved. They wouldn't do it. I'm going to see, what I've seen in cases like this a lot of times is total disaster. That young man drowned. He went out into eternity. They begged him on Wednesday night, if I remember the story right. They begged him and pleaded with him. There was even tears and so forth. And he wouldn't yield. And he died. A young man promising, listen, young people, we love you. Get a hold of Jesus to the depths you need to. Let the wicked, or seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, tonight he's here. He's here. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do things for you. 22 and 17 of the good book of Revelation said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit here is calling, come. The bride, the church is saying, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Lord is here in this meeting. I felt his Spirit knowing he's here. He blessed me and he's blessed you too. But if you need help tonight, you need to say, you need to admit where thou art thou. Where are you at tonight? Don't look at anybody else. Don't look at your wife or your husband or your children. Say, it's me, O Lord. I'm the one that needs the help. I'm the one that's in the jungle. I'm the one that's in the bitterness and the anger and all of these things. The unforgiveness. I'm there. That's me. Come on. It's time to get your help. Let's stand and have a song, please. I appreciate your time and your attention tonight.